KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Welcome back to Rural Roots Rising. If this is your first time listening, Rural Roots Rising is a monthly radio show and podcast created by and for rural Oregonians who are creatively and courageously building stronger and more vibrant communities for a just democracy. My name is Emma Renee Derning, and I'm an organizer with the Rural Organizing Project and one of the creators of Rural Roots Rising. Today's show is the season finale of Rural Roots Rising's second season, and is also the second episode in a two-part series highlighting Ashland High School Truth to Power Club and their podcast, Tea, Toast, and Truth. Last time, we aired a shortened version of their original Seeing Homeless episode, the first show that the club produced collaboratively. Today, we're going behind the scenes with three members of Truth to Power to talk about their work. At the end of every episode, we encourage media makers to reach out, and last winter, Truth to Power introduced themselves to us on Instagram. We were inspired by the way they intertwine community conversations with the powerful local organizing they've taken on in their first year as a club.
I'm Isadora Millay. I'm a 10th grader and co-founder and co-president of Truth to Power Club.
And I'm Anya Moore, and I am also one of the co-founders and co-presidents of Truth to Power Club, and I'm a sophomore at Ashland High School.
I'm Izzy Cantu. I am a sophomore at Ashland High School. I'm the club treasurer and a club member.
We're going to dive into my interview with them right where we started part one of this series.
Ashland is in Southern Oregon. It's like a quaint little town. I've grown up here for like 5 to 6 years. People often think of it as like, of course, very liberal, very like, nothing bad happens here, utopia, like no racism, nothing bad happens, which is, of course, nice to think about, but not true. And believing something like that can be dangerous. So like even now, our group is pretty much, it's oriented in Ashland. And we really just feed off of working to educate everybody about different issues, whether it's homelessness, racism, teen deaths, Zoom school, things that are really affecting us, and that we believe if we bring attention to it, have people sit down and talk about it and listen to us talking about it and trying to work through all of its inconsistencies and that kind of thing, we believe that we can instill that change that we're working for. And as we say, Truth to Power, we're really wanting to use the truth to generate power and give it to the people and really just show that, yes, we're giving you a platform to speak on. That way you can also have a voice. You can make actions to instill permanent change for the betterment of our community and that kind of thing.
You see yourselves more as media, more as organizers, somewhere in the middle, neither? Where do you kind of identify in terms of the work that you're doing?
I think we're definitely both, because we do have a really strong media presence in our podcasts, but then we also have that organizer, organization, project vibe going on too when we do like our workshops and we do this mural project and the houseless supply drive. One of our goals is to, I think it's actually a Truth to Power norm, is after every podcast, we want to follow it up with an action project, because we do really want that balance of like saying, doing. And so I would say, yeah, we have both media and organization.
Yeah, I would just phrase this like organizing and activism through media in a way. That's kind of what I think it is. But I would say it identifies more as organizing and activism, but we're using media as our primary tool for that.
In November 2020, just a few months after Anya and Isadora founded Truth to Power, Aiden Ellison, a 19-year-old Black man who graduated from Ashland High School, was shot and killed while listening to music in his car by a middle-aged white man. As the Southern Oregon Black Leaders, Activists, and Community Coalition's leadership team pointed out shortly after Aiden's murder, quote, "The Black community in Ashland is less than 2% of the total population, but now makes up 100% of the homicide victims in our town."
So on November 23rd, Aiden Ellison was shot in his car. It was in the parking lot of the Stratford Inn, and he was playing music. And a white man came out, and he was angry, apparently, at the loudness of the music. And he shot Aiden, and Aiden died that night. I think for our whole community and all of Oregon and everybody who heard about that death, there was a great awakening within us who I think specifically for Ashland is like categorized kind of as in this bubble of we're perfect, we have, you know, the best town, we're super liberal, and then this happened and everybody was like, wow, we have a lot of work to do. We are not perfectly liberal and perfectly anti-racist. There's a lot of racism. There's a lot of ignorance and fear for actually standing up for what is right in Ashland. And I think Aiden's death was not only a deep, deep tragedy, but also an awakening to, I would like to say all of us in Ashland, but probably not all of us in Ashland, to what we need to do to become better, for like me personally as a white person, to become a better ally, and how we can make Ashland more inclusive, more safe, and more welcoming. And we sought to try and encompass that in Truth to Power with our podcast and our workshops and now our mural that we are doing.
These three projects, the podcast, the workshop series, and the mural, are all part of the commitment Truth to Power made to tackle racism head on and not let the community sweep his murder under the rug.
We do need to do something. We can't just let this happen and not have any community response and like changing our ways. And we decided, let's do Dear White Folks, Let's Talk About Racism. And we originally just did the one. We got a lot of backlash, like a lot of backlash.
Because people were like, oh, you shouldn't be putting this on. There is like nothing going on wrong in our town. Like there is no racism and that kind of thing. And I was like, whoa, okay, hold up. This is kind of hurting my stomach, like just thinking about that.
This backlash didn't slow them down at all. The first workshop brought tons of interested community members together into anti-racist action, and led to community education paired with ongoing anti-racist organizing that has continued for months.
After the first workshop, a lot of people who weren't able to make it to the first one said, hey, do you have a recording of this? We wish we could have come, or I want to go again. And so we decided, let's do a series. And so we did Dear White Folks 1, Let's Talk About Racism. Dear White Folks 2, How to Be Anti-Racist. And then Shane, our amazing advisor, had the idea to do a screening and a discussion of the 13th, and he really helped plan that. And we also did that as part of the workshop series. So that's kind of how it all came together. After Aiden's death, we were really just like, we can't let this happen with no response. We have to do something. And so we did something.
Before moving forward, they wanted to see if Aiden's mother, Andrea, would offer guidance about how she wanted Aiden remembered and celebrated. So they reached out.
And she was super sweet, and we met up with her at her house. She made us Papa Murphy's pizza. It was really good. And we sat out on her porch. It was a beautiful sunny day, and we talked for like an hour and a half about everything. She gave us some awesome life lessons about being like women in this world, and she also talked about you know, Aiden's life and who he was and what she would love to see from our community. And it was really amazing.
Yeah, I think we were all a little bit nervous before going and talking with her, because like we are mostly white. We had Issa with us, who's the lead artist, who's a person of color, but predominantly white doing this. And so we were just a little bit concerned about what her reaction would be if she was gonna see it as a sort of like white savior complex sort of situation. But we wanted to just get her blessing and hear from her how she would want Aiden to be portrayed, because she's the one who knows him best there. So we wanted to really hear how she would want him to be seen, and the message that she wanted the mural to have too. And she kind of just like described Aiden, and she did it all with like so much love and like a lot of joy, and just like looking back, and she seemed like, yes, there was sadness there, but kind of just like celebrating and remembering him in the best of lights. And then, as Issa said, she gave us some awesome advice. She talked a lot about how we need stuff for teenagers to do here, and how that felt like a really big thing for her, is just how a lot of teenagers here in Ashland can get really bored and they just like don't really know what to turn to. So the importance of creating community space and outlets for teenagers was something big that she talked about, and I think that's impacted some of the projects and podcasts that Truth to Power is now wanting to do, and just shown us the importance of providing a space for teenagers and what we're doing.
Truth to Power's conversation with Andrea highlights a key part of what it means to organize for the long haul. Building community power requires organizers to build strong relationships with each other, our neighbors, and the people we take action with. Meeting with Aiden's mom brought up the lack of safe spaces for teens to hang out, which was an issue Truth to Power had heard repeatedly in podcast interviews and conversations all over town.
Not just that teens didn't have something to do, but also teens who didn't have money to like go skiing or to go on big trips. There's nothing there for them. Like, what do you do? So she really, you know, emphasized the fact that like a more equitable way for every single kid, no matter their place in society, no matter how much money they have, for them to be able to hang out and talk and experience companionship. I'm working on another podcast about teen death, and that's also come up, like teens needing a safe space to go. And I think that's also come up in a mental health project or podcast some other people from the club are working on. It's like consistently come up in our work. And so we've been diverting more and more attention to creating that safe space, or at least catalyzing action for other members and for other people in the community to create that safe space. So that's something that has changed the focus of our club. We focus on a lot of stuff, but that's like now become a centerpiece for sure.
Yeah, I think it kind of confirmed like what the main mission of our club really is for me, and like that this work, it is appropriate for us to be doing it, and it's important that we're doing it. And just hearing her like talk about Aiden in this way where it's like celebrating him, I think kind of solidified our meaning of the mural.
After meeting with Aiden's mom, Truth to Power is moving forward on the mural, which will also highlight other Ashland graduates that are Black, Indigenous, and people of color, or BIPOC. This includes Michelle Alexander, author of the book The New Jim Crow: Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness.
We are hard at work on the mural right now, and we have our designer right now for it, Issa Martinez Moore. She's a senior at Ashland High School. And we are right now trying to get permission from other people, other BIPOC from the Ashland community, who have done amazing things and brought amazing things to Ashland. And so the whole mural is kind of a celebration of Aiden's life and honoring Aiden's life, but then also just celebrating the BIPOC who are alive and who have passed, who have contributed amazing things, and just making sure that like their achievements aren't overlooked here in Ashland, where it's predominantly white.
The Tea, Toast, and Truth podcast about how Aiden Ellison's murder exposed systemic racism in Ashland will be available soon on Spotify and Anchor. Last fall, before Aiden was killed, Truth to Power was working on their first major episode, Seeing Homeless, which we featured previously on Rural Roots Rising.
Everywhere is illegal to sleep. Like, that you shouldn't be in trouble for trying to sleep. Especially, you're not doing anything to hurt anything
like that. It's just messed up.
Sleep under the awning of an abandoned store, that get you some charges.
There are over 14,000 houseless people in our state. They all come from different backgrounds. They all have different beliefs and values. They are all human, like me, and like you.
You don't have a social security number? Well, you're going to jail because we're going to have to figure out who you are, and you're going to have to run your fingerprints, and you never know how long you're going to be in there because you're not in the system, so you're not recognized.
Truth to Power interviewed houseless community members in Ashland about the lack of affordable housing, the criminalization of houselessness, and the gaps between available community resources and people's basic needs. I asked Truth to Power about their process for gathering and sharing stories.
We knew that we should first start out with interviews because that was something that we were really big on for this one. Most of our podcasts that we do, instead of just having it be us talking or just research and facts, we like to hear from community members too and hear from the people who we're actually talking about. So we knew we wanted to start out with interviews. And for this one, it was also unique because instead of like scheduling an interview with people, this one was more going out into the community and just finding people on the streets who we could interview. So that was our first stage. And we would just go out in groups and walk around downtown. And we had some burritos that we brought with us and asked people, do you want a burrito? Can we talk with you? Can we hear your story? And we got some really amazing interviews that way.
Well, also we really wanted this like group podcast to incorporate everybody in the club so that they kind of figured out like what they liked to do when making podcasts. Like, do you prefer interviewing or editing or script writing or, you know, any of the stages? And so club members, they kind of got to choose like what they wanted to do and what they wanted to help in. And the editing process took us a while. We found when we went from script to editing, the order just flipped and twirled and jumbled and completely undid itself and came into something new, because as we listened to the stories, we were like, oh, this needs to go here, oh, the emotion in this worsened the emotion here, oh, let's intertwine these two stories. And so that whole basis we had with the script just kind of disappeared when we started editing, which is a really funny experience, but also I think it turned out really well.
Izzy can probably touch on this more too. There was a lot of things I think that we gained from it that we wanted to change in our future podcast making. So I think that while the product was amazing too, just the experience of doing it together as a group and having that first one was in some ways even more valuable to kind of bring the group together and figure out how we wanted to all actually collaborate.
I got really excited when Truth to Power shared about their approach to collectively creating podcast episodes, because it was really similar to our process for creating Rural Roots Rising. After hearing Truth to Power's experience of intentionally collaborating and seeking out the perspectives and feedback of people most impacted by the issues they are choosing to tackle, I wanted to know more about how that work transformed how they think about their own consumption of media.
As the podcast began to be released, I've noticed that even on Instagram, I'll like follow different news channels and things like that, because it made me realize how important it is to really stay engaged in what's going on in our world, because we can't just be like mindless and be zombies to what's happening. So I think definitely my view on the media has changed. I've become a lot more grateful for it and noticed how grateful I am just to be able to watch the news and actually see what's happening all over the US, not only, but like the world. And yeah, definitely just have a lot more gratitude towards the fact that I can learn all of that. And also, of course, have my own medium of it, which is like podcasts and that kind of thing. And I think we're definitely being able to add to Ashland Circle, maybe like Southern Oregon in general. By having these podcasts, I think we're just adding a little bit of ourselves and our own personal like opinions and stories and emotions and interests, which is pretty powerful to know that like we have that much control and we're just like able to just express ourselves in such a beautiful way. And also get feedback from the public. That also felt amazing, getting interviewed for the first couple times. Like, I never expected to do this in like my sophomore year of high school. I thought I'd be focused on AP exams and stuff like that, which I am, but like having this on top of that, it's just a whole different like route than I thought I would go on, but I'm really happy I took it.
For both of our teams, becoming storytellers and not just listeners shifted our understanding of the stories that surrounded us. At the time of this interview, I could only find 2 Tea, Toast, and Truth episodes online, so I asked Truth to Power about the episodes they had in progress. Since then, some of the episodes they told me about have come out, so be sure to listen to Tea, Toast, and Truth on Spotify or Anchor.
Izza is right now heading one about the various teen deaths that have happened here recently, and kind of the meaning behind all of those, why that happened here. And then I'm working on one about first love, and then what other one? We have quite a few coming out. Do you want to take on some other ones?
Yeah, sure. We do. I think we need to get a list. Anya mentioned first love. We also have a 3-part series about the Alameda fires. We're thinking of doing the 3-part Alameda Fire series, releasing that on the anniversary of the fires, which means holding on to them for a little while, but those are almost done. We also have one about the effects of Zoom school on students and teachers and how they're coping with that and how it's going to affect them in the long run and what the future is going to look like with that. We have one coming up about mental health, and that's like very new.
As you were working collaboratively on all these episodes, how do you manage kind of everyone feeling included and making sure everyone gets to be involved or figuring out ways to work together with that many people?
That's definitely been an ongoing thing that Anya and I, like, we constantly come together and we're like, how else can we do this? Is this working? Is it not working? Because it is a struggle, and you never want people to feel like they don't have a place or like they aren't being listened to. We want it to really be, we want Truth to Power to be a community of friends who work really hard and create amazing things. One of the things that we've stumbled upon that I think has been working really well, just like getting to hear everybody and listen, is when we do meetings, we'll go around in a circle and just check in with everybody, which can go on for a while, seeing as we have like 20 people. So if it's like a shorter meeting, we'll just do it by big like chunk group, like, oh, you're working on this podcast, one spokesperson. But we really like getting to go around and talk to everybody, and oftentimes it turns into conversations, and one person like starts saying, oh, I'm doing this, and then like somebody comments on it, and then like we're all just having a big conversation and everybody's feeling heard and listened to. So that's one thing that we've done. Anya, do you want to add?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've been trying to also delegate some specific roles to people. Like, we just had someone who's starting to write our blog, which is awesome. And we made like a media liaison. So that sort of thing, so that different people, because people have amazing skills and then they can apply them to the group. And I think a lot of the group members have been good too, if they're feeling like they don't have a job, actually coming to us and saying, hey, like, what can I take on? I want to help more.
Truth to Power speaks to the importance of not only shedding light on community issues, but also bringing people together to take action on the issues they're discussing.
I mean, I think these days so many people talk and then don't follow through with what they're saying. I see it all the time through people posting something on social media and then not going to the event that they posted about, or politics and that sort of thing these days. And so I think it's really important to demonstrate and kind of to be leaders in the way where we do follow through with what we're saying, to kind of try and help other people do the same.
I mean, I guess I see a lot, especially in other teams, with social media, there's a lot of reposting on stories and like texting like, oh, this is so wrong, let's sign a petition, which is really great. Don't stop doing that. Like, that's awesome. That's a great first step. But it often always stops there. And I find that true with older generations too. And I think if we want to see change, it can't stop there.
Like, we have to start making change individually within our own little circles and pods and have that expand and grow. But we can't just rely on signing petitions and putting something on our story, because then we're going to like be making change and it's going to stop at this like level, and we aren't going to go past that level. And if we want to keep going, then we have to start doing it ourselves. And so I think Truth to Power really wants to like inspire that and be that vessel for people to make that change and keep growing and keep evolving.
The Rural Organizing Project has a long history of pairing education with opportunities for ordinary Oregonians to take action. And we're inspired by how Tea, Toast, and Truth is creating opportunities to connect their podcast to local organizing campaigns. This is the final episode of Rural Roots Rising's second season. We highlighted local media makers and unpacked how strong community media is an essential part of a just democracy. Do you know a rural media maker we should connect with? Did Truth to Power's work inspire you to take action on the issues that matter most in your community? Reach out to us at info@ruralrootsrising.org. This episode is Behind the Scenes with Tea, Toast, and Truth. If you'd like to hear more episodes made by Ashland High School's Truth to Power Club, be sure to listen to Tea, Toast, and Truth on Spotify or Anchor. You can also follow Truth to Power on Facebook and Instagram. Head to our website, ruralrootsrising.org, to find links to their podcast and social media. We featured music from the Road Sodas, Junior 85, Ben von Wildenhaus, and Tea, Toast, and Truth's Seeing Homeless episode. Special thanks to Bruce Morris for his enduring technical support throughout seasons 1 and 2 of Rural Roots Rising. Rural Roots Rising is created by the Rural Organizing Project, a network of more than 80 autonomous and volunteer-run groups who are advancing human dignity and democracy across rural Oregon. To learn more about the Rural Organizing Project, and to sign up for weekly email updates, go to rop.org. To donate to sustain our work amplifying the voices of rural Oregonians, visit rop.org/donate. You can follow Rural Organizing Project on Facebook and Instagram, and you can subscribe to Rural Roots Rising wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout our first two seasons, we've been featuring the song There May Be Hope by the Oregon-based band The Road Sodas as our theme music. We are so grateful for their support throughout this radio show and podcast, and we thought you might want to hear the song in its entirety. So here it is. Thanks for listening.
People raising a ruckus, start making a fuss, start giving up, and get out into the streets, and there may be hope. There's a time and a place for peace, a time to be ready to bleed. There's a time to play nice and say please, but right now's the time for dismantling machinery. And there may be hope, maybe even for us. We need a lot more people raising a ruckus, start making a fuss, start giving up, and get out into the streets. And there may be hope. I know the future looks grim, it's a long shot and the margins are slim, but if we stand aside we'll lose anyway. So I'll go down swinging and be able to say that there may be hope, maybe even for us. We need a lot more people raising a ruckus, start making
You're listening to Community Radio.
KBOO, Portland.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. In the November 2020 general election, voters in Oregon approved ballot measure 109. The Oregon Psilocybin Services Act is state law. As noted on the Oregon Health Authority website, ballot measure 109 directs the Oregon Health Authority, after a two-year development period from January 1st, 2021 to December 31st, 2022, to license and regulate the manufacture